Good morning and welcome. It is the third hour of our get-together. It's the Bob Rose Show on a happy hump day, Trump Day. It is 8:08, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. U.S. and Canada, the trade war escalates. There'll come a time at the end of September where Trump says there'll be some products from Canada that won't be able to come in at all, regardless of the tariff amount. Things escalating in the Middle East. Five Iranian tankers have been taken out, and they're not real happy about that. Fired a bunch of missiles at Jordan. We'll catch you up on all those major headlines, but first we want to connect with our Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Excited to be hearing your voice this morning.
Hey, how about them Gators?
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, baby. I talked so much crap about FSU on Monday night, but I was fueled by our overwhelming win in the swamp. And then you listen to Coach Summerall, and oh my gosh, I could run through a brick wall about six ways. I'm just so excited. I think we've got a great team, the right coach. Things are looking good for the Gators. We look great.
Definitely agree. Only three penalties. That tells me that the young men understand the discipline this coach is trying to impart to them and taking it seriously. First games almost always are at least a little sloppy. But in terms of penalties, that's a great statement. And it's the most points we put on the board in like 30-something years.
Yeah, for an opener. I mean, I think, what was it, Baugh, he had three touchdowns. VB3 was running like, I mean, it's just, it seems like things are starting to click, and I know we're always optimistic at the beginning of the season, but it feels right. So I'm very encouraged, and I think we've got a good schedule ahead. So fingers crossed, and the boys seem focused and disciplined, and we'll see. And of course, when FSU loses, that's always a great day.
Yeah, and thanks for that running back. Give Baugh the ball. Hey, also Gator Ben Shelton. Remember, he won national single champion playing for us. He is climbing the ladder at the U.S. Open, and he beat Alcaraz. He beat Carlos Alcaraz in a match that didn't end until 3:30 this morning. So he's going to the semis. So good for him too, right?
Yes. I mean, I got home very late last night. We had a long day on the road. We were in Marion County meeting with veterans and teachers and parents, and I didn't actually get home until after 10 o'clock, and I flipped on the U.S. Open, and the women were just wrapping up. And I mean, talk about a great showing from just the Americans in general. We've had so many great American players advance into the quarterfinals and now the semis, and love seeing a Gator who, I mean, he was actually ranked below, and he had a hell of a performance. I woke up this morning and was like, man, I definitely wouldn't be awake for that, but I'm really proud to see a Gator doing as well as he is.
I agree. I love it. Hey, tell me about this hometown health fair that's scheduled for October.
Yeah, so we all agree. I mean, you don't have to be a Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody knows that our healthcare system is broken. We have a sick care system. And whether you're trying to find a primary care doctor or you're trying to get in to see a specialist or you're fighting your insurance company, it does not matter. You are always having an issue with healthcare. And so we are pulling together doctors, insurance companies, CMS, so Medicare, Medicaid, and we are doing this right before open enrollment when people can make changes to their healthcare plan or sign up for one. And we're bringing folks to our district in order to really deliver on these resources. So everything from soup to nuts of mental health, specialty care, primary care, different hospital systems, government agencies, you name it, we are bringing folks in, and you can get all of your questions answered, sign up for plans that work best for you, talk to your insurance company about appeals, denials, questions that you may have about your existing plan, claims that you may have pending. All of that is going to be covered. I'm really excited about this because we know that this is a huge issue that every single one of our constituents care about. And we want to, of course, be the best representative we can and deliver that resource to our folks here right at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. It's critically important. And, you know, everybody needs to be kind of their own healthcare advocate, but you have to have a place to start and information to start with. And this health fair sounds like a great forum to get that information. Let's move on to Venezuela. I understand some oil deals have been done. Some are continued to get signed. So tell me about that and what that will eventually, when will we feel a positive effect from the Venezuelan oil, if you will?
Yeah, so I know we've talked a little about this before. I was in Venezuela a couple weeks ago, and I was one of the first members of Congress to be in country back in Venezuela in 10 years. And I met with the interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, and her brother who heads up the National Assembly. And people have to remember that Venezuela, they control the means of production. And so every deal has to run through their government. And they were sitting on these contracts to develop their reserves. They are one of the most oil-rich nations in the world with incredible reserve capacity. And that heavy Venezuelan crude is tailor-made for our American refineries. And so we are at max capacity for what we can develop in the United States. And in terms of our type of crude, we need that heavy Venezuelan crude, which will not only be good for bringing down prices immediately, but that is a long-term national security play, because as we see in Iran, not only does it take 45, 50 days to get that oil over to our refineries, to our shores, but the geopolitics of that region are completely in flux 24/7. So what we were doing was we were pushing the interim president, Rodriguez. We were saying, listen, you know, Chevron and these American companies, they want to come in, they want to do business, but you guys need to sign these contracts. And so we were having some very productive conversations about how that could benefit both Venezuela and America, how it really, it tightens up the geopolitical security of the Western Hemisphere. And so we're really excited, because here in the last 3 weeks, and of course, President Trump announced a big signature done by some of the big companies, we have now seen more than a dozen different contracts signed. And that is Americans that are going to be helping to develop this and then benefiting from it. So bringing down the price of diesel, which is through the roof, bringing down the price of gas, because it only takes 5 days to get that crude from Venezuela up into the Gulf to refine in our shores. So really exciting, and hopefully this will start bringing down the price of gas ASAP.
Why haven't we built a refinery in so long? We've had this discussion, not just you and I, but I mean, we haven't built a refinery in years and years. Oh, let me quickly say, when information was coming out about this Venezuelan oil, how it could benefit us, all the lefties in all these articles I read, they were lying through their teeth. They said it could be 10, 15 years before we see the benefits of this. And they have that heavy crude that our refiners are not suited to refine, when just a couple of weeks earlier, I had an article that said, why isn't America refining their own oil? Because we don't have enough refinery for the light, sweet crude. So they're lying every chance they get when it comes to oil.
100%. And that's just pure BS. In fact, when I was in Venezuela, I talked with several of the oil companies, and they said that it is harder to do oil deals and refined product in California than it is Venezuela. That ought to put it in perspective to people of what happens when you have such a overregulation and you tie up all of these companies in a permitting quagmire that you can't move anything. And so they are absolutely lying through their teeth, because they would rather see, and by they, I mean the ultra-radical leftists, they would rather see President Trump fail than our country succeed. And they are just fundamentally anti-American at their core. So I think that this is a wonderful development. I would love for us to see any and every opportunity to bring down the price of gas and support American energy industries.
Well, 100%, right on board with you as usual, Congresswoman, and we always appreciate your time, and I know what you're going to say next, so go right ahead.
You know, baby. Let's go Gators.
Oh, yeah.
Go Gators. Thanks again, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Always appreciate her presence on the air. Mm-hmm. It is 8:17 on the Bob Rose Show, and we've got more top headlines to talk about and to hit, and more good news about the Gators. It's all coming your way on 97.3 The Sky. There it is. Another awesome day. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:23 right now. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Some of your top stories, a trade war ratcheting up just a little bit between us and Canada. We sunk five Iranian tankers, apparently. They were a little perturbed about that. Shot about, I don't know, was it over a dozen missiles at one of their neighboring countries, Iran did. And only a couple of them got through, right? Was that Jordan?
Jordan, yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll dig up some more information about that and see where we're on that. And speaking of attacks, you know, a kid basically was attacked by an alligator. Look, here in Florida, we're not shocked by that. It does happen. It's still unfortunate. It's still very sad. The kid's going to do okay. But still, what a terrible experience. But wait, hold on a second. First of all, if you're visiting Florida, coming to Florida, or if you've lived in Florida for any period of time, you've got to know that any body of water could contain an alligator or several of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lesson that, you know, people, I would think, learn very, very quickly when they come here. But then, to add to it, apparently where this kid was swimming, it was in an off-limits nature preserve. It's specifically on the sign that was easy to read, wasn't all faded or beat up or, you know, full of, you know, shotgun rounds or anything. It was,
it
very easy to read. Hey, off-limits, no swimming, alligators present.
That's a pretty serious sign to read, I would think. I mean, you know, no littering. Okay, people like, you know, okay, whatever. But alligators, hello.
Yeah, I don't get it. And maybe it's a part of a culture of the rules don't apply to me.
Yeah, right.
You know,
well, until you're a snack.
Well, I thought that double yellow line was always just a suggestion until Officer Krumke told me, no, that's for real. So.
Or somebody else crosses that double yellow line and you realize it doesn't really stop anything.
No. Yeah. So when the sign says, you know, alligators present, no swimming allowed, etc., you need to heed those warnings. And really, I mean, everybody came out, FWC, Hernando County Fire Rescue, the Sheriff's Office. I mean, they all responded. It was the middle of the afternoon, and I guess the group, it was a couple of them, they were kind of hanging out on this little sandbar area because they were scared to swim back to shore, which you can't blame him after he was attacked. And he's got some puncture marks and things like that, I'm sure, for a kid. Pretty painful experience for anybody, probably.
But can you imagine being on that sandbar, that little island there, going, okay, we're here, the land is over there, and the gators are between us. I mean, just that feeling that, you know, hey, they'll come after you, too. They're not scared of you on the land.
Yeah, one of the experts said dangerous encounters can often be avoided if people change their behavior around alligator habitats. The three biggest problems that we run into are people swimming in an alligator habitat, people feeding the alligators, or people having kids and pets near the water's edge.
We have seen that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yep. When an alligator's in the water, its eyes sit only about an inch above the surface. From that perspective, the animal may see only a swimmer's head and arms moving through the water. The alligator thinks, looks like small prey. The best way to stay safe is to avoid getting into a dangerous situation in the first place. That is like number one. Mm-hmm. So don't take a chance where you're not familiar with the swimming waters, but don't ever take a chance where it's clearly marked. Alligators live here. This is where they eat.
Yes.
Unless you want to be on the menu, stay the blank out.
Wait, I remember when I moved here, you know, and I was asking about a couple of small bodies of water that were on the side of the road where I lived at the time. And like, oh, forget the bodies of water. And their analogy was, if it rains and there's a puddle, before it dries up, there's probably an alligator in it. I mean, that was the point they were trying to make to a newbie at the time.
Yeah, and that very well could be true. That's basically the warning I was given when I moved here. They said, any body of water could contain an alligator in the state of Florida. It's just the way that it is. Doesn't mean it does, but you have to treat it as though it does.
Absolutely. Yep.
a group of aggrieved 9/11 victims' relatives gathered at City Hall on Tuesday. They wanted to hand-deliver a petition. I'll tell you what that petition was about as we are getting days closer to the 25th anniversary of 9/11. That and more all coming your way on the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome and happy Hump Day Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:34 and we're going to make it. We're just going to make it an awesome day. We're still got the glow after the big Gator win on Saturday. Got another game coming up in the Swamp, 5:30, taking on Campbell. And not the soup company. Not Glenn Campbell.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it actually is a school with a football team based in near Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't know anything about them, I'll be honest. I know they're in for a thrashing. I think I can say that. Mm-hmm. No, this is one of those deals where their program needs money, and we pay them. And everybody enjoys themselves, and they get to play one of the biggest teams. And it also helps to, pay the bills so that they can, enjoy playing football and getting an education at the same time. So it's all good. Looking forward to it. And, we got another Gator. Ben Shelton just came off a huge tennis win in the U.S. Open against Carlos Alcaraz. And this guy is tough. And, it took, all five sets to do it. And he didn't finish until 3:30 a.m. So now Ben Shelton moves on to, after he takes a very long nap, on Friday, he'll face fellow American Francis Tiafoe, who is a tough player in his own right. So that's the semis. Wow. Man, you're getting there. Ben Shelton, former Gator, number one, won the Nationals for the Florida Gators just a few years ago. So we've got that going on. It's all good. And then, we're 2 days away from a very, very solemn and sad and still emotionally charged anniversary of 9/11, 25 years ago. I just, it is, it's hard to believe that it has been that long time. Time has moved so very quickly. Think about it. You could have been not born or even a child, and you could have graduated high school by now, a whole bunch of people.
Well, it's interesting because I was talking to a few people about it yesterday who are younger than me, and we were just talking about our different perspectives, because we were adults. We were working in radio. I was on the air, and our news person, is who broke it to us. But one of the guys who's a bit younger, he was a military brat, and he was in a naval school as a kid. And again, you got to remember, we didn't know what was really going on or how widespread. Because we didn't know what was going on, but they basically came and took us all and we evacuated the school because you didn't know, is a naval base going to be under attack? What are they attacking? Who are they attacking? And who are they? So we had so many more questions than answers and probably still do.
Yes, it was one of those moments that if you were alive and conscious at that time, you have a memory probably burned into your brain as I recalled it very specifically. And I do remember, even though I was in Florida, just the whole East Coast was just a tremendously beautiful, crisp morning. All up the Eastern Seaboard, New York, beautiful day was unfolding. Same thing in Florida. And it was almost impossible to kind of rectify like this beautiful day and there's actually a plane crashing into a building in New York.
Right.
And that was bad enough. But when the doctor came in, because we were in for a, just a medical checkup and the doctor came in and we just happened to know him. I play softball with him, Orlando Orthopedics. So we knew the doctor,
right.
He's a young guy. And he said a second plane.
Oh, wow.
Just hit the building, and that's when
you knew.
He looks at me and he goes, "So, I guess you'll be going off to work here any minute now." I go, "Yep,
yeah."
Yeah, we did. We left there and, you know, stopped by the house and then, yeah, went right to work. Because, well, Peter Jennings was on it in moments, you know, broadcasting. And it was quite the moment. And remember how far removed most of us were. You know, if you lived in and around New York City or did a lot of business there, of course, that hit even deeper.
Right.
But now you've got this mayor, Mamdani.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a very divisive guy to begin with. And he's going to be, is he going to address people at City Hall? Is he going to address people on this 9/11 memorial? I can tell you that I did a broadcast 1 year after 9/11. So that would be almost 24 years to date.
Yeah.
And we were placed in like a hotel just adjacent to Ground Zero. And it, back then it was basically they had cleaned up a lot.
Right.
But it was like a hole.
Right.
And you could just feel, you could cut the emotion in the whole area with a knife. I mean, it was just you could feel it and taste it almost, you know. And that was a year. That was a year later, and yeah, it was very emotional. And I don't know, for a lot of people, those emotions don't go away, especially when they're re-reminded. To me, it would be, well, if you lost a loved one, I mean, that's always going to be there. And that's kind of 9/11 is going to be there, even if you didn't lose a loved one. But my point here is that a group of aggrieved 9/11 victims' relatives gathered at City Hall Tuesday to hand deliver a petition urging Mayor Zoran Mamdani to steer clear of ceremonies marking the 25th anniversary of the attacks. More than a dozen mourners shared their frustration with Mamdani's confirmed attendance at Friday's annual ceremony at the National September 11th Memorial, during which the names of all 2,983 victims of the attacks will be read aloud. It's not about his religion or where he came from, they said. It's about the policies that he has today. And this woman, Sherry, lost her husband, Tom. He was a currency trader at Euro Brokers on the 84th floor of the South Tower. Some of the families also called out Mamdani for hiring Ramzi Kassam, who represented an Al-Qaeda terrorist held at Guantanamo Bay in 2014. He hired this guy as his chief counsel. You know, it's today that he hires people like Ramzi Kassam. That's what we object to. The group signed on to the petition, started by Giovanni Galanti, whose wife, Grace Catherine Galanti, was killed in the attacks in July on change.org. First put that petition out and saying, hey, look, they've racked up 102,000 signatures. They delivered them to the office. They really don't want him to participate. And their reasoning doesn't appear to be, you know, hate filled or hate fueled.
Right.
It's not about what nationality or origin this guy. It's his policies, the things he has said in the past, the staff, the people that he's hired and surrounds himself with. And again, I got to tell you, when you get emotions as powerful and strong as they're going to be on that day.
Oh, yeah.
I would think it would be in his best interest not to be around, honestly. If it was a, if I was the security guy and they came to me, I'd say, I think it'll be do more harm than good, both for your career, for you possibly physically to be harmed, and just avoid it.
Because not everybody may be as understanding or have the perspective of those that signed the petition that are asking. They, some others may not be so kind.
No. Look, you always look at it. You've got things that can make emotional people that are emotional enough to gather as a group, whether it's in a petition or whether they're marching or whatever, you know, you can get into a mob mentality. And then you also have a few within that group who may have some serious underlying issues. And all they need is, you know, one little push. And they make decisions hastily and do bad things. I don't think you should go for several reasons, one of which I don't think that he has the level of respect that you should have going into it personally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting, you know, to see how this unfolds and whether he's going to go. I don't know. Have you heard the latest of whether he definitely is going to go or not?
I have not, actually, no.
Yeah.
I'll check into it, though.
And he might be. He might be kind of waiting to make that determination and seeing, you know, his PR people out and about and seeing what kind of information they can gather. And, you know, I just can't imagine him getting a great welcome there. But then again, I mean, if I'm going to say that, I have to also say, I can't believe the guy got elected.
We were shocked.
Yeah.
In New York City, yeah.
So, you know, taking all these things into account, you know, New York, different kind of place. Certainly what it was 24 years ago when I visited there, it was interesting because there was still some remaining good feelings.
Yeah.
Good feelings between Republicans and Democrats. Still, it's us against the bad guys who want to hurt our country. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, we fight like cats and dogs, but, you know, we came together after 9/11. We need
to rekindle
that spirit, but I don't know that that's possible as long as you have this move toward communism and socialism that the left seems hell-bent upon. We'll see. All right. We've got a lot more to talk about coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Let's dig in a little bit deeper on the trade thing with Canada and also the tensions rising in the Middle East. Oil up to almost $100 a barrel. What's going to happen there? Details on all that coming your way on the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy on a happy Hump Day Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky. Well, good morning and welcome. It is 8:51 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy Hump Day, Trump Day. And another great discussion earlier with Congresswoman Kat Kamick. We always appreciate talking to her. That along with, you know, some of the issues we've been following today makes for a great podcast material if you haven't checked it out or you have maybe, or any time that you've ever checked out a podcast, you can find us there. Search for the Bob Rose Show. And click on follow, and it's all laid out for you. And that way you can enjoy some of the stuff we talk about, you know, on your own time, your own clock. Because you need to get all 4 hours. And I don't want anybody to lose their job over it. You know what I mean?
That's so compassionate. That is so caring.
You should be talking to your boss, and then you both can sit, put your feet up on the desk, and listen to the show in its entirety. I highly recommend it.
Well, I mean, I'll just be very frank. I won't call him out, but I was having to take care of a little bit of business during a break there. And owner of a local business actually goes, yeah, I'm listening to the show right now. I'm like, see, now that's a good boss right there. That's the way they need to be, right? Lead by example.
That's what I'm talking about, Craig.
I knew you would be.
What's President Donald Trump talking about? Well, you know, he's itching this scratch or scratching this itch or whatever with Canada. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a rash.
Yeah, a rash has been developing, and some would say his decision-making could be a bit rash as well.
That's true.
A little double entendre there.
Uh-huh.
He's issuing a series of proclamations. He did this Tuesday night to ban certain Canadian alcohol, dairy products and motorcycles from entering America. I did for a second. What bikes are made in Canada? I forgot all about Can-Am.
Yeah, right. You don't think about them being Canadian.
Yeah. And what is it? Bombardier?
Bombardier, which nobody was pronouncing on the news correctly.
Bombardier.
Yesterday.
We used to call it Bombardier when we were kids. We didn't know any better.
No, I remember that.
Because we grew up with cartoons. Pilot to Bombardier.
Yeah, exactly.
Pilot to Bombardier.
That's all you knew. That was a reference point. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, he's going to ban them. Ban them.
Man.
That's not a tariff anymore. That's saying we don't want your stuff at all at any price.
See, they keep kicking back, and we know how Trump works. He doesn't play that game.
No, he pokes you. You try to slap him. He punches you in the face. You know, you do anything else.
Uh-huh.
He blows you up. I mean,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, is it time? Time to invade Canada?
Well, you know, we could use some more, you know, outdoorsy kind of areas to visit, that kind of thing. A lot of great forests, you know. Yeah,
yeah, but those are where the most decent Canadians live.
Well, then they should be happy if we come in.
No, we love our Canadian neighbors. We do, and they come visit us in Florida a lot. And they're great folks. Not crazy about Mark Carney, their current leader, and neither is President Trump. President Trump is doing this to make sure, again, that we keep a level playing field, deter retaliation, and, of course, protect American production. That from a senior White House official. This ban would cover sparkling grape wine, malt beer. Is that like crack of 40, man? Is that what they're talking about? Is that like Colt 45? That's not made in Canada, is it?
You can't tell. It's always wrapped up in a paper bag.
Rice wine or sake. We can probably get that from China, right? Or I'm sorry, Japan. Apologize. Mm-hmm. Irish and Scotch whiskeys, which shouldn't you be getting that from Ireland and Scotland?
You would think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as long as they are packaged, other types of alcoholic beverages that are banned include tequila and mezcal if they are in containers under 4 liters. Yeah. Yeah, when I drink tequila, I need the 5 liters. I want to totally black out.
Eh?
Again, tequila, Canada?
Yeah, that sounds...
Isn't that like that mezcal, that plant that it's supposed to be made out of? Isn't that like Southwest U.S., mostly Mexico down there? Again, no expert here, but it seems odd. Now, the dairy now prohibited from entering the U.S. from Canada include multi-types of whey protein. And other products include cane molasses and non-alcoholic beer. Whey protein. Ooh, I use that in my power shakes. Hope it's not going to impact the price. I don't think it's coming from Canada. You know, I wonder where they sell a lot of their stuff. Is it basically you're going across the border and like, you know, the Buffalo area up that way, around Detroit, and then in some of your western states? I just, you know what I mean? I'm wondering where the vast majority of their things are sold in the U.S., Canadian products specifically. Additionally, Trump, though, is subjecting an additional list of goods to his 50% tariffs, including golf carts and similar motor vehicles. Ooh, I better hang on to my golf cart. It needs a little work, but, not in the market to purchase a new one anytime soon. Cotton mattresses are going to be on the list.
Really?
Bamboo and rattan furniture. Once again.
Okay.
Bamboo and rattan?
Come on.
That doesn't come from there.
No. No.
That's like Malaysia. That's like stuff
exactly.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
You would think. I mean, technically, yes. Bamboo pretty much grows, you know, anywhere where
it's usually warmer clients. You don't think of Canada and bamboo, so I don't know.
But we know they do have some aluminium.
Yes, they do.
And some cheese products. So anyway, it's September 29th is when these things go into effect. Hopefully over the next 20 days, maybe something can be worked out. We hope. All right. What's going on in the Middle East? Things tend to be ratcheting up there as well. We'll share that information with you next. Coming up on the Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky.